Judges chapter 7 will be focus of our study this morning. Last message on the book of Judges that we've been focusing on the life of Gideon. And while you're turning there, you may ask, Brother Doug, when are you going to start preaching Christmas? Well, next week we're going to preach a Christmas message, okay? And then I want to remind you that on December the 24th, we will have a Christmas Eve service here at the church at 5 p.m. Everyone's invited, and we're looking forward to that service as well. Right? But today, we're going to talk about the battle. Judges chapter 7 and verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moriah in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, 'Mine own hand has saved me.' Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, 'Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead.' And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, 'This one go with you,' and the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say, 'This one shall not go,' the same shall not go." So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, "Everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink." And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink. Then the Lord said to Gideon, "By the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the people go, or let all the other people go, every man to his place." So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands, and he sent away all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. And it happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, "Arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you're afraid to go down, then go down to the camp with Pur, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterwards your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp." Then he went down with Pur, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the people of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts. Their camels were without number, as the sand by the seashore in multitude. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling of a dream to his companion. He said, "I've had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian, and it came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed." Then his companion answered and said, "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian into the whole camp, or God has delivered Midian and the whole camp." And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshipped. And he returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand." Then he divided the 300 men into three companies and put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, "Look at me and do likewise. Watch. When I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say, 'The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.'" So Gideon and the 100 who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch. And they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hand for blowing. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. When 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. And the army fled to Beth Akasa toward Zerah, as far as the border of Abel, Mahola, and Tabah. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray for your guidance and your word. Speak to us, Lord, through your word. Teach us that we may know you. Open our hearts, Lord, to receive it. Father, we pray your will be done in this service. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm by no means a military-minded man. But today, we're going to talk about the battle. And I'm convinced that, you know, as you look around, you see people. Don't you just see people? You can tell they've all got it together, right? People sitting beside you, just look. They look sharp. They look like, hey, they've got life, you know, all in control. You know, I'm kidding, right? We can only imagine the battles that are being fought within this congregation. And so today, I said I'm not a military-minded man, but I want to share some things with you about the battle. You see, in the military, a commander never sends his people to battle until he has prepared his people for battle. Makes sense, right? I mean, hours, months, years go into preparation to prepare men for battle. When I was in the military, I was in the Air Force, and we used to march a lot. Never did figure out why we had to do all that marching. But I guess it prepared us for battle, right? Today, as we look at the life of Gideon, we see God going to great extremes to prepare this man for the battle that he faced. First thing he did, God pushed Gideon's faith to the limit. And that's how God prepares us. God pushes our faith to the limit. We started out in verse 1 of chapter 7, and it said that Gideon had gathered 32,000 men for his army. Now, if you read the previous chapter, you'll read about how he sent word out and all the people came to join Gideon to face the Midianites who were plaguing their land. And so he's sitting here, and even with 32,000 men, I want you to understand, Gideon was outnumbered. So there's a little nervousness to begin with. And Gideon looks out there and he looks at what he's got and, well, I believe we can fight anyway. But God says, wait. Those that are with you are too many. You've got too many men, Gideon. Now, had I been Gideon, and probably you too, we'd have said, what? God, what? Too many. That's right. Too many. So here's what I want you to do, Gideon. I want you to tell everyone of your 32,000 men that if you're afraid, if this battle makes you nervous, you go back home. And so, of course, they start with 32,000 men. 22,000 men said, I'm afraid. And they pack up their stuff and go. But Gideon still has 10,000. Gideon's looking and thinking, okay, this is not as good, but 10,000, we can at least make a showing, right? God says to Gideon, Gideon, you still got too many men. So he runs another test, if you will, a thinning test to thin the army, and brings them all to drink. Those who got down on their knees to drink are separated over here, and those who lapped water like a dog or would have put it in their hand and their hand up to their mouth to drink, those go over here. When it was all said and done and everyone had taken a drink, there were 300 men who lapped as a dog or brought the water up to their face, right? And God says, Gideon, by 300 men, I'm going to save Israel. I'm going to give you the victory with 300 men. Now, I want you to understand what God did. God brought Gideon to the point where the only thing he had to trust was God Himself. No more, it's not, look at these big brave soldiers we have. We've got 300 guys against an innumerable army. The only way they're going to win this fight is if God wins it for them. And that's exactly where Gideon needed to be. You know, when you have nothing to trust except God, you're ready to fight. You're ready for the battle. You see, we desire security and you know, we want that sure thing, don't you? I don't want to have to worry about how this is going to turn out. I want to know before I start that everything's in order. Every Sunday when I preach, I want my message in order. I want point one, point two, point three. And I, you know, and after, I said, I don't know, 30-something years of preaching, you know, I've come to kind of expect that. But every once in a while, God says, well, watch this. Point one and two and three don't come. Sometimes God says, I don't want you to preach that. And I'll be honest with you, this week was one of those weeks. If you'll notice, the outline that I'm preaching to you does not match the outline that's in the bulletin. There's the reason the outline was in the book that's in the bulletin is that was my outline. We had to back up and say, okay, Lord, how do you want it done, right? But the point being this, we want to know how things are going to turn out. And preachers are not, it's not just preachers. It's everyone. Why don't you witness to people more than you do? If you had the security of knowing they would receive your testimony, would you tell people about Jesus? Absolutely. But we don't have that security, if you will. I mean, anything that we do, we want to know that it's a sure thing. I want to share this with you. Whatever we're doing, if we can explain it, God probably didn't do it. I'm going to say that again. Whatever we do, if we can explain it, God probably didn't do it. I go back in the Old Testament to the walls of Jericho, and y'all know how that story went. Joshua was supposed to march around the walls of Jericho 7 times, and on the 7th day they blow the trumpets and shout, and what happens? The walls fall down. Explain that. I don't know, the walls just fell. You look, I mean, that's God's power. That's the God that we serve. And that's the God that we have to have absolute confidence and trust in before we go into battle. Whatever your battle is. If you're battling illness, you've got to know. You've got to be able to trust God. God is God and He can do anything. If your battle is your marriage, you've got to be able to trust God and know God's got it. How many times have you ever been in that position that you didn't know how you made it through? You just knew that God carried you and got you through it. That's what we're talking about here. Listen, when you have nothing to trust but God, you're ready to fight. Point number two. When your faith exceeds your fear, you're ready to fight. When your faith exceeds your fear, you're ready to fight. First thing I want you to see is how God encouraged Gideon. God was very patient with Gideon. Gideon when the angel first appeared to Gideon and told him, you remember, "Hail, thou man of valor, strong man." That was the greeting, and Gideon was like, "Who, me?" And the angel told him, "God has selected you to deliver Israel from the Midianites." Gideon's still like, "Who, me?" And Gideon asked for a sign. He said, "If it's really me that's going to be the one that delivers Israel from the Midianites, let me prepare, show me a sign." He said, "Let me prepare you food." So he goes and prepares a meal and he brings it back to the angel. The angel says, "Lay it on the rock. Pour the drink out, the broth out on the rock." And the angel touched it with his staff, and you remember what happened? So fire came out of the rock and consumed what Gideon had brought. Now at that point, what would you have done? Would you have said, had to be God. That should be confirmation, shouldn't it? But Gideon wasn't satisfied. A little bit later, Gideon asked God for a sign. "If it's really me, Lord," have you ever done that? Sounds like me when I surrendered to preach. "If it's really me, Lord. Lord, are you really calling me? Lord, if it's really me." But Gideon was like, "Lord, if it's really me, then I'm going to put fleece out on the floor of the wine press. And I'm going to leave it there all night. And if it's really me that you want to do this, I ask that you make the fleece wet with dew in the morning when we get up and the wine press floor dry." So he gets up the next morning, and guess what happened? The fleece was wet. And it wasn't just wet. He squeezed a bowl of water out of it. I mean, there was no doubt, no question about God answered his prayer, gave him the sign he asked for. You know what Gideon did? "Lord, please don't be angry with me," Gideon said. "But just to make sure..." You ever done that? "Lord, please don't be angry. But just to make sure, tonight I'm going to put that same fleece out. And if you choose me to do this, then I ask that the ground around the fleece be wet and the fleece be dry." And you know what happens that night? He goes to sleep. He comes back the next morning. He picks up the fleece and it's as dry as it can be. And the wine press floor is wet all around. You know, you would think... You would sure think at this point, Gideon would say, "All right, God, I'm ready to fight." But as I shared with you before, Gideon has already had most of his army taken away. And God knows he's a little bit afraid. And so God says, "Look, I've given into your hand the Midianites. But if you're afraid, you go down and you listen to what they're saying in the camp." So Gideon and his servant, Purah, goes down into the camp and he eavesdrops. And one of the Midianite soldiers are talking. He said, "Man, I had a dream. And in this dream, a loaf of barley bread come rolling into camp and it hit a tent. And that barley bread caused the tent to just completely collapse. What is that?" And the other guy that was with him told him, "That's nothing except Gideon that God has chosen and given the Midianites into the hands of that man, Gideon." And so Gideon hears this. And so it fills him up. It strengthens him and makes him, you know, he goes back to camp. "I'm ready to go." Finally, he's ready to go. How much does God have to show us so that we're ready to go? How long do we put God off? "Lord, I will when," or "Lord, one of these days I will get..." Now listen, look at what God is doing around you. God never fails. When your faith exceeds your fear, you're ready to go. And what you also have to understand is fear is a prescription for failure. I'll say that again. Fear is a prescription for failure. You go back to the New Testament and the Apostle Peter. You remember when Jesus appeared walking on the water and it was during a storm. And remember what Peter said? Peter said, "Hey, Jesus, if it's really you, let me come out to join you. Jesus said, "Come on." Peter jumps out of the boat. Starts walking on water. Until what happened? Took his eyes off Jesus, looked around, said, "This is some pretty big waves." He became afraid. And what happened? He began to sink. Oh, but Jesus was so gracious. Grabbed a hold of him and picked him up. Says, "Come on, Peter. You've got more faith than that." I'm reminded of the parable of the talents. You remember the parable of the talents? There's one received 10, one received 5, one received 1. And do you remember the one that received 1, what he said when the master came back? Say, "Oh, Master, I know you're a hard man. I know that you reap where you've not sown. Oh, but Master, you know, because I knew all that, I buried your talent because I was afraid." When the master came back, he dug up the talent, gave it to him, says, "Here's your talent." Fear immobilizes us. I don't know how many people that I've heard during my life that made comments like, "I think God's calling me to preach, but Brother Doug, I'm scared. Brother Doug, I would like to teach that class, but I'm scared. Brother Doug, I would like to witness to my neighbor, but I'm afraid." Listen, you've got a choice. You can choose faith or you can choose fear, but they will not coexist together. Won't work. Okay? Will not work. God, and you say, "Well, Brother Doug, how do I have that kind of faith?" Look around you. Here's my question. Here's my challenge. Name me one time your God has ever forsaken you. One time. We'd be here all day, wouldn't we? Now, I'm not saying that you didn't go through hard times or have difficulty. I'm asking you one time that God forsook you. The answer is never. You know, you got to learn from those things. You know, I think back when we were in the last building program and I've got to smile. The reason I have to smile is because there were a few folks that, "Oh, we can't do that. That's too much money. That's too much. We can't build that. We can't pay for that." Amazing thing was, it was 80% paid for when we got it done. Or I don't know, it might have been 100%. Which was it, Michael? It was close. Before we got the thing built. You know, see, God shows us these things to prepare us to have faith for what's next. Okay? God shows you His faithfulness so that you'll be prepared for what's next. Because I promise you this, you may not be fighting a battle right now, but you will be sooner or later. Sooner or later. You're either in the battle, coming out of the battle, or going into the next battle. You need to know how to fight. And you have to fight from that perspective of knowing that your God will honor your faith. Which brings us to the last point. God will honor your faith. Gideon, when it comes right down to it, you see, we went through all that, but when push comes to shove, Gideon at some point had to take his men, go down and face the enemy. Okay? Sooner or later, he's got to go down and face the enemy. So he gives his troops, his 300 troops, he gives them a torch, he gives them a trumpet, and he gives them a pitcher, like a water pitcher. And they go down to face the enemy. And when they get down there, Gideon says, "Do like I do." And he explains to them what they're going to do. Gideon says he's going to blow his horn. Gideon's going to throw his pitcher and break it on the ground. That's the battle plan. Isn't that a great battle plan? I love battle plans like that. Because it's battle plans like that that you know it had to be God. It had to be God. And the bottom line is, you know, as people of faith, don't we want every battle we face, don't we want that to be the answer when we come out victorious? That it was only God. And so what happens, of course, when they blow the trumpets and break the pitchers, the enemy, it confuses the enemy. They're scared to death. They begin to kill one another. And they run. Israel had the victory because they blew horns and broke pots. I want to tell you something. Victory doesn't depend on what you do. Victory depends on what God does through you. Okay? So often we want to impress God. Lord, I can do this and I can, you know, I have that ability. Listen, you can't impress God. He's the creator of the universe. So what we have to understand is that God will honor our faith. And get this, God always wins. Okay? When you know that God always wins, you're ready to go to battle. You see, we're not losers. I look at in the book of Exodus, when Moses and the children of Israel were on the banks of the Red Sea, and their backs to the sea and their fronts facing the Egyptian army that's coming after them. You remember that? Remember what Moses said? Moses said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Today, the Lord will fight for you." You see, that's what makes us winners. And what happened in that situation was God, you know the story, God parted the Red Sea. Israel goes across on dry ground. Egypt begins to pursue the armies of Israel. When Israel got across, God closed up the Red Sea, killed all the army of Egypt. And that was just the big downfall of Egypt. They never will be the powerhouse again that they were at that time. You see, here's what I want you to get. Most people do not believe that God does that miraculous stuff anymore. I want to tell you, please listen. God is still God. If He wants to part the sea, He can part the sea. If He wants to part the Arkansas River, He can part the Arkansas River. You see, we've got so entangled in this concept. We don't want the world to think we're some kind of holy roller or something like that. I don't care what the world thinks, do you? What I care about is having faith in the power of my God. And you do not have any battle, no matter what you're facing. You may face the roughest marriage that you've ever seen. You may face the biggest challenges it doesn't matter. Your problem's not too big for God. And God is still God. He can work things in your life that when He's done, you're going to back up and say, you know what you're going to say? God did that. And God's going to get the glory. See, that's the point. That's the point, that God gets the glory. If you notice, we started out and God said, I can't give you the victory with 32,000 men. Why? Because you'll claim victory for yourself. I did that, you'll say. But after God gets done, the only explanation that Israel has is God did it. And what a testimony that is. You know what? You know what the world needs to see? The world needs to see a people who will testify of the mighty deeds of God. Okay? They need to know that we serve a God that is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-everything. But we have to understand that that's the God that we serve. To see that great power, you're going to have to be willing to put yourself in a position to see that great power. It may mean moving out of your comfort zone. How many of you like comfort? I got a recliner at home that has my name on it because I like comfort. But you know what? Spiritually speaking, comfort's not good for me. It's not. I need to be out of my comfort zone. I need to be doing things that I can't not do. Why? Because what I can't do, my God can, and that's when I see Him. Same goes for you. Same goes for you. What are you doing? What have you put up? Well, what excuses have you made? Has God been calling you to preach? Quit making excuses and say yes. Has God been calling you to teach? Quit making excuses and say yes. Has God broken your heart and shown you the need of a Savior? You know, one example I didn't give a while ago was when Paul preached to Felix. And you know what happened with old Felix? Paul preached righteousness and salvation to Felix. And when Paul was finished, Felix said, that Felix was afraid. Told Paul to go away. In a more convenient time, I'll call you again. God's been breaking your heart knowing you're lost. That if you were to die, you would go to hell today. And He has laid that on your heart knowing there's no hope apart from Him. But you just can't seem to get the nerve to call upon Him for salvation. Listen. You can either choose faith today or you can choose fear. Fear will ruin your life. Faith will give you the victory. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we've come to the point of the service of invitation. And Father, we know within ourselves that we can do nothing. But we know that there are battles going on within these church, in this church, in the lives of individuals, and only You know those battles. Some are fighting health battles. Some are fighting emotional battles. Some are fighting Your call into ministry. Father, help us to stop fighting those calls. And to act upon faith in You. Father, now this invitation we commit into Your hands. I pray that the lost will respond for salvation. I pray that the saved will respond with faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.